You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for. You're dating somebody that's as fine as frog hair. Got changeable eyes like mine. And you walking with this person, male or female, and you walking with them and y'all getting so connected that you decided to make the relationship exclusive. And all of a sudden, one day they say, I don't want to be with you no more. Your heart is broken. Your heart is broken. Oh my God, what happened? And you start showing it on your face because you really want that person to be viewed as a dog. So you start showing, what's the matter? Oh, he left. Oh, she left. What? Yes, I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. I don't understand. I don't know why. I went out and started planning the wedding. And I don't get it. I don't understand what happened. And then you see they took up with somebody else. Now you've gone from sorrow to anger. Now the Philly in you comes out. Excuse me, now you want to be an usher. So when she walks in or he walks in, excuse me, yes, I like a seat, please, right back here, right behind that column. That's the only one we got left for you. Right there. There you go. Sit there. Mm-hmm. And take him or her with you. Then you hear on the announcements, he puts up there, they're getting married. Now you want to backslide. You ain't coming to church no more. How dare they do that? Then they go get married. And 6 months later, she comes in with a black eye. Or he comes in with a busted lip. And they testify about how each other is physically abusive. Then you get on your hands and knees and thank God that you didn't marry. But you didn't know it at first because you were guided and blinded by love. And you prayed for what God didn't want you to have. I believe, and this is conservative, that 2/3 of what we pray for, God never wants us to have it. Because, see, I'm just really playing this way. God knows what I need. Oh, I wish I had a church that hears me. And even if you don't like it, doesn't mean you don't need it. It could be what he uses to keep you humble, to keep the anointing flowing through you. If God were to give you what you wanted, you wouldn't pray like you should. You wouldn't read the Bible. When my heart is broken over anything, I pour myself into the Bible, into the Word of God, and I thank God for the heartbreaking experience. Ain't nobody breathing oxygen gonna make me backslide. The only way I'm gonna leave the Lord is if he tell me he don't want me. And then I'm gonna try to convince him otherwise. I'm not leaving God because some usher is in a bad mood or some church member has acted like an idiot or some preacher has decided to live like a heathen. I ain't leaving the Lord. I'm not walking away from him. Whatever light affliction comes my way, it's okay because I know when it's over, I'm going to be better when I come out. And the devil that aggravated me while I was in it, I'll be able to cast him out when I get out of it because I'm fasting and praying while I'm in it. Oh, give him a hallelujah. You know I'm telling you the truth. You might not like it, but you can say amen to the truth. Watch this. Get into practice. I'm going to give you a truth, and you have to say amen. Donald John Trump is the president of the United States. Now, I know 90% of you don't like it, but you have to amen the truth. And the truth is, God sometimes takes you through the fire. Pray all you want, are you going through it? Now, if you have a God who only gives you good stuff, trade him in for mine. My God will let you go into the furnace. Yes, he will. He'll let them tie up your hands and cut off your ability to lift your hand. He'll let them make the furnace 7 times hotter than it should be. But then he will come down and get in it with you. He might let the devil make the weapons more effective, but he ain't leaving you. The greater the battle, the more the revelation. The harder the trial, the greater the deliverance. God might let Pharaoh chase you, but know he's going to open your Red Sea. You cannot get a beautiful demonstration of God's power until you've come to the end of yourself. Now, we don't know what to pray for, he said, as we ought to. He didn't say we don't know what to pray for. You know what to pray for, but you just don't know how to say it. Oh, Lord, I don't want Aunt Sarah to be sick anymore. I don't want her to hurt anymore. And God says, fine. But you didn't factor that in. God said, you say, God, what happened? She's not hurting anymore. In fact, she's about 30 years old now. She was 92 down on the earth, but she's 32 up here. And she looked good. Y'all should see her, but I can't let you up here. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit. See, we don't know what we should pray. I went to see a friend one time who was in the hospital for a sustained period of time, and her husband was there. And he had been coming down on a regular basis, and he had just wore himself out. I could see the doubt struggle with faith. And I had been there and laid my hands on this saint of God and prayed that the Lord would touch her. And God did not respond to that prayer. We had kept coming down, and she was in for over 3 months, and we had kept going down praying that God would lift her. And as God would have it, one day we were there at the same time. And he stood on one side of the bed, and I stood on the other, and I looked at him, and I said, maybe, just maybe, we ought to pray to release her. We joined hands over the bed. He stood on his side. I stood on mine, and I prayed, Father, in the name of Jesus, this has gone on long enough. We release her into your care. In 2 days, she was gone. Just slept right into the presence of the Lord. God prepared his heart that there was no long-term suffering. In fact, his heart was so guarded, people were wondering, did he love her? You see, we don't know how to pray for what we want. We know what we think we want, but we don't know how to pray for it. In the movie Bruce Almighty, when God went on vacation and left Bruce in charge, and everybody was praying, and he got all these post-it notes. And he just turned around and gave everybody what they wanted. And when God came back, Morgan Freeman, which was really a poor example of God because he was, you know, guilty of fooling around with somebody. Anyway, it should have got James Earl Jones. He has no scandal. And he sounds like God. And so he comes back and he said, what did you do? He said, I gave everybody what they wanted. They put this in the movie. He said, how do people know what they want? I thought to myself, they just messed up. They put in there something in the scriptures. We don't know what we want. We pray for what we see, what we think we want. I want that person, but you don't even know that person. That person, they looked at Wayne Gacy, and he looked good, curly hair, blue-eyed, attractive man who was killing people. They looked at Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer looked normal, nice hair, normal, but he was cutting people up and putting them in his refrigerator. How do you know what you want? Oh, he got bow legs. I want him. She got nice body shape. I want her. How do you know what you want? So we go and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is what I want, Lord. Lord, this is what I want in the name. And we're going to get to the name of Jesus because it's used improperly. We just throw the name of Jesus after everything. And Jesus didn't mean that. When he said, you shall ask in my name, he wasn't saying you just go around in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. No. He was saying in my authority. Watch. When the police officer comes to your house, they don't come in and say, open up in the name of the 14th district. All right, get out of that car in the name of the 35th district. They say, in the name of the law. Now watch. What is the law's name? Doesn't have one. So when they say in the name of the law, you know they mean by that authority. You actually think Jesus wanted you to go around and every prayer ends with, in Jesus' name. Simply because we saw that that's what he said. Now, I'm going to show you why it doesn't work. Now, I do it too out of habit, and I'm trying to help myself. But watch. In the book of Acts, there were seven sons of Sceva. They walked up to a demonized man. They said, come out of this man in the name of Jesus that Paul spoke of. The devil said, we know Jesus. We know Paul. But who are you? So apparently, the name of Jesus without any power doesn't mean anything. So the person coming to you saying in the name of the law, but no badge, is going to have you say, if you don't get away from my door. See, we just throw the name in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is sitting in heaven saying, looking at the Father, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I didn't tell him to say that. I did not tell him to pray that prayer and stick my name on the end. I didn't tell him. We don't know how to pray. We think it's normal, like living. You think parenting is normal. Oh, I have a child. Praise the Lord. I'm pregnant. I just gave birth. But you don't take a class on how to be a good parent. You just think it should happen. I know what to do. You're going to treat them like your parents treated you. So now there's going to be another dysfunctional person. Because all you're doing is doing what was done to you. And even though you may try not to, it's just going to happen because it's lodged in your mind. It's lodged in your unconscious mind. So you're either going to treat people the way you treat them because you choose to, or you've seen so much abuse, you're going to not treat them because of what you've seen. But you've never sat with your contemporaries and had horizontal consultations on how to train this child. Let me give you an example, and then we're going to go because we got service tonight. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. In Pentecost, we took that to mean that we're to fill that child with the word of God, and give them such an abundant diet of the word of God that when they get older, they won't leave. We even stretched it to say they may stray, but they'll come right back. But that is not what that passage means. The passage puts the emphasis on training. And he's not talking about giving them scripture. He's literally saying, get to know your child. And then guide them into what they are gifted into doing. Don't push them into college if they're not college material. Don't tell them they can be doctors when they hate to study. Guide them with their particular gift. But 98% of us don't even know who our child's friends are. We don't even know what they're doing on the phone. We don't know who they're texting. We don't know what they're doing in the chat room. How do you guide those that you do not know? What does your child think of Jesus? What do they think of you? Even Jesus says every relationship comes to a pivotal point where you say, who do you think I am? Do you allow for the change in the relationship where they go from toddler to adolescent to adult? Or are you still treating them like a toddler? Directing their lives. Fussing with them when they don't do what you say. When adults don't learn by instruction, They learn by consequence. That's why God doesn't intervene every time we disobey. He just chooses not to touch it. Jack Hayford, one of the most outstanding pastors of his day. I highly regard, have high regard for Dr. Jack, and I honor who he is. When 9/11 came back in 2001, people asked him, was this the judgment of God? He said, absolutely not. He said, but what it was God moving his hand for about 10 minutes and then putting it back. And in that 10 minutes of time, we saw one of the worst tragedies in our country since December 7th, 1941. You see, God can opt not to move. And you can pray all you want to. He can just say, I ain't touching it. The Bible alludes to the fact that Samson had people that were encouraging to him. And I believe they prayed for him. I believe his mother prayed when she saw him starting to drink and do all the things that a Nazarite should not do. But God didn't listen. He let him fall into Delilah's hands. How do you pray with a God who knows the end from the beginning? Wouldn't it be great to have a God who listened to us? Let me give you this last one. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. The Living Bible says it like this. Don't worry about anything. And how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are worrying about something? You can't help it. You're worrying about the government opening up. It's because you're part of the wrong government. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, we are citizens of heaven. Now, how do we pray about this? Lord, cause the government to open up. God says, what? I don't get it. What are you praying? Cause the government to open up. How? Instead of praying, God, help the elected officials grow up. And those that don't want to grow up, help us throw them out and get some mature people in there. I'd like to get some saints in there. After they win this football game, they need to go down there and run the country. We need to get some saints in these positions. Saints ought to be running government. Saints. We need to get some saints in there. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. But how do you pray? Prayer, by definition, is worshipful oratory. Is it really prayer? Is it really prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a job. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what things you need before you ask. When he used birds and flowers, he was really slapping us. Because you never seen a bird going around praying. Woo! We need some bread. We need some bread. We need some bread. No. Now, I know that's a bit elementary. But they don't worry, was Jesus' point. Why are you worrying? And it comes out in your prayer. And then we think prayer is more effective when we yell. Now, God! And he's going, please, calm down. My God, dog, slow down. In the name of Jesus! Now you got to move. Now, God, Mainz and Einstein, I need you to go to Einstein. Get on the elevator. Get off at the sixth floor. Walk over to 621, bed 2, and touch my Aunt Lola.
in Jesus' name.
Instead of praying, Father, you know where Aunt Lola is. We're concerned about her. Let your will be done. Comfort her as you comfort us. Amen. Just a conversational tone. If Jesus unstopped deaf ears, how is he deaf? Even the deaf people that came to him, he didn't say, "Do you believe me? Can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" No, he just put his finger in his ear, took it out, and they said, "Whoa, I hear." See, the addition of the flesh perverts prayer. Paul said, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Then he said, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Father, my mortgage is due on the 1st. I'm telling you about it simply because you invited me to tell you. Now, it's in your hands now, Lord. I've told you about it. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for meeting that need. You've always been an awesome God. You have always demonstrated your ability to take care of me. So guess what? I'm going to sleep. And I'm going to have a good night's sleep because your word says you're going to take care of this. And I thank you for hearing me. Amen. So be it. And drop on off to sleep. Behind the scenes, the Lord is working. You wake up the next morning. They call you up. Hello, how are you? This is such and such and such and such. Just wanted to tell you that you qualified for the free month. You don't have to pay any rent or mortgage this month. You qualified. I didn't know I was even in the running. We didn't know it either. Your name just popped up.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
The Power of Prayer,
or the program number
01219P.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.